Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hidden Hearing. Hearing problems? We've been tuning people in for over 30 years. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're talking about England being, and the UK indeed being, in a state of chasses. Elizabeth McGuinness. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
You're in Monaghan, but you're from Ireland originally. You emigrated to New Zealand, came back 6 years ago. But now you're thinking of packing your bags and going back to New Zealand. Why?
Oh, well, I don't know if you remember, you talked to a lot of people, but when I came home 6 years ago, you interviewed me on the radio, and at the time everybody was leaving Ireland, going to Canada, New Zealand, Australia, everywhere. And this Egypt here came back to start a business and whatever. But I was listening to the radio for a few months, and I came onto your show talking about all the positives I thought were still relevant and prevalent in Ireland that I came home to, even given the mess we were, the financial okay. mess we were in.
So why are you thinking of leaving?
Well, I'll just preface it. I mean, you, when we were finishing our conversation that day, you sort of cynically said to me, you might be very rosy all about it now. Let's see how rosy you feel about Ireland in 6 months. So it's 6 years and a bit, and I'm this far on. I just want to know. I just think I'm a very average citizen. I'm an average citizen. I'm no better and no worse than anybody else. But I just wonder how many people actually feel like me and don't get the voices heard and don't say nothing and don't.
Okay,
feel
so why? Give me the reasons why you're thinking of leaving.
Right. Okay. Basically, I split away email to yesterday. I was sitting listening to the radio, yeah. and it came up about Shane Ross and about the new penalty points for the speeding zones. And that's all fine. I take that. And then there's a little addendum about, and if you don't produce your driver's license on the spot, there'll be more penalty points for that. So I said, right, that's the last straw. So I just feel like Irish citizens, I don't think we're really valued anymore. I think we're being less and less valued. We've been devalued. And I look at, I used to say when I went to New Zealand, you know, I was a very proud Irish person in New Zealand. I did a lot of good work on behalf of Ireland in New Zealand. Lots of things, raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. I worked with the army on projects. I did stuff for the earthquake. I did stuff for New Zealand Rugby. Grand. Left mm-hmm. a good legacy behind me. I came back. I came back to start a business, albeit in a recession, to dress older and colder people with really good stuff we make in New Zealand for bad weather, dress farmers. I do that now in healthcare and whatever.
Okay.
And it was a hard road, and I stuck with it, and I'm not afraid of hard work. Nobody around Monaghan is. And I just feel that we're being stripped back like an onion being peeled bit by bit from 2008 fallout, where we had bankers advising ministers, not independent thinking people, to come in. And I just feel, over the last number of years, every time I turn around, we're being penalised heavier for something else, for something else. And I'm just getting a little bit demoralised. And I feel like everybody else, you know, you pay your property tax, all these new taxes we had to pay. Now, I wasn't ringing in just about paying taxes and stuff like that. It's really more about us ordinary Irish people not being heard, not being valued. And every which way that somebody can turn around, like no harm to Shane Ross. We all listened to him pontificating from on high for years, and he wrote the book with Nick Webb about all the things that were going wrong in government. And yet he's in there, and every little which way they can find to get an extra fiver.
Okay, but you think there's too much regulation. A lot of the regulation means more money. In fact, there was a letter to the papers last week from a lot of heads of charities saying the cost of all this regulation now is crippling charities. If they've any connection with the public funding, they're absolutely crippled with all these new rules and regulations and compliances and having to join REPAC and having to get a sticker on your window. That's all. But anyway, stay there for a second, Elizabeth, because one of the things now that did feature in the Yellow Vest movement in France was all the stuff you're talking about, the rural isolation, the pubs closing, the drink driving laws. I'm not saying I'm for or against. I'm just listing what came up: the closure of the post offices, the commuting time, the traffic, the regulations. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're going to Australia.
I am Australian.
Yeah, okay. And what's you have a problem? Why you had a problem in Ireland? We discovered you could sort it out in Australia much quicker. Why?
Well, I've been here 40 years. I have two grown-up sons here and a stepson. Okay. And I have two beautiful grandchildren here at the moment. And for the last 6 years now, I've had problems with vertigo.
Okay.
And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And every time I go to the doctors, I just get pills thrown at me, steroids, antibiotics. Nothing seems to work. I go and I get it flushed out every now and then. It's great for a couple of weeks. And then it comes back again. Now, every year I get a letter sent to me from the hospital saying I'm available for the appointment. I keep sending it back. This has been going on 6 years now, at least 7 years. And I've just had enough. The last year I haven't been able to do any work at all because I'm just falling over all the time. I have more scars on my head than I've ever had. I've been to doctors and they said they're going to push it and push it and push it, but nothing ever happens. So I've been on to my brother. My mother passed away there about a year ago, and we need to go home and sort out financial stuff. And I was talking to my brother about this, and he was at his doctor's the other morning, and he rang me.
Yeah.
And I was talking to his doctor on the phone, and he said, Paul, if you get back here, ring me the day after you arrive. I'll make an appointment to see me. He said, it won't take any more than 4 to 6 weeks to see a consultant. Now, I'm waiting nearly 7 years to see a consultant, so there's a big difference there.
And is there not a procedure or an operation you need done, Paul?
It's a drain, a build of a wax in my inner ear, apparently.
Can you not get that done here?
Well, this is what I'm waiting to see a consultant for. This is what it's all about. I can't get anything done until I can see a consultant, even though I know what's wrong with me.
And you've been waiting for a consultant in Ireland for, 7 years?
Since April 2012, yeah.
On the public list, so to speak.
Yep.
And you've been told if you go back to Australia,
I'll get it done within 4 to 6 weeks.
And is that guaranteed?
Oh, yeah.
On the public list?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what my mother's doctors told me straight out. I can see a consultant within 4 to 6 weeks.
God, the consultant's probably Irish. There's so many Irish,
medics.
By the way, I know we've heard about vertigo, but what you say to me, your head is full of stitches.
It's a build-up, and what it is, I bend over, I fall over. My room is spinning continually when I lay down in bed. It just never stops.
Oh, my God.
I can't work. I dropped my grandson about 2 months ago. Now, my son didn't see it, but thank God. And I'm just afraid to pick him up and play with him now. It's got so bad now.
Can you drive?
I'm going home in March now, or early March, and I'm going to get it sorted because I can't go on like this.
Of course. But, Paul, can you drive?
I can't do anything, no.
And when you lie in bed, you say the room is spinning.
It continually spins all the time.
Well, can you sleep?
I sleep for 2 or 3 hours on it. And I wake up again. My life is hell, to be honest with you. Let's put it that way.
And when you wake up...
I don't have a life.
Okay, when you wake up immediately, are you spinning again, so to speak?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I have to do is I have to roll out of bed on my hands and knees, and I slowly push myself up and stand up properly. And it takes me about 20 minutes to get functioning properly. And this is every day.
And now, Paul, what's your sensation now?
Well, I'm standing outside here now, and I'm wobbly. Let's put it that way.
You're standing where, sorry?
I'm standing outside my son's house and I'm actually wobbling.
And does anything help?
I have some ear drops to take which stops the pain because it's like a hot poker in my ear.
Oh, mummy.
And this guy, the chemist, now I got talking to him the other day and he's given me these drops. I'm supposed to get on prescription. Now, I'm not supposed to say this, but he gave them to me to help me because he knows the pain I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm not getting any help from anybody. The care doctors give me stuff to help, but it's only a temporary thing.
And Paul, have you been diagnosed with severe vertigo? Where are you on the scale?
I don't know. That's the point. No one seems to tell me anything. I'm asking, but I'm not getting any answers.
But if you're waiting 7 years to see a consultant, do they not think it's severe?
Obviously not, because I was in Wexford Hospital about 3 months ago. I was so bad at my house one night. I rang a friend of mine and he brought me in. I was really, really bad. One of the worst nights I've had. I went into the hospital. The nurse had brought me in. They knew I was bad because I couldn't even get out of the wheelchair. They put me into bed. In the middle of the night, I wanted to go to the toilet and I couldn't. And I end up, unfortunately, I wet myself.
Okay.
Now, I'm a 63-year-old man and I'm quite embarrassed about it.
Yeah, sure.
But the nurses were absolutely fantastic in the hospital. And they were all over me. They fixed me up. The next morning, the doctors came in. There were 3 or 4 African doctors, I think they were, and they were chatting away, and then they went off. And I said to the nurse, what were they going to do for me? She said, they told us to give you a pill and send you home. And the head nurse said, he's not going anywhere. And they had a big fight with a doctor in the hospital, and I ended up staying for 2 days before I actually got sorted. And I was 100 times better when I went out. But within a week or two later, I was back to square one again. And this is what it's like. This is what my life's been like now.
But that sounds unbearable, spinning around.
It is.
You dread waking up, but that probably makes you wake up.
But I'm drained of energy because I have no energy now. It just takes so much out of you. And if anyone has vertigo, they know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not nice at all.
Sounds horrific. I did not.
All I want to do, the reason I got onto you is, surely there must be someone out there that can help me. There has to be someone out there that can help me. I can't go on like this.
You're going to Australia. That's what you decided to do.
I know,
but
I'd love to get it done now because I'm in so much pain all the time and it's just unbearable.
And is there a vertigo support group here?
I don't know. See, I don't know. I'm not told anything. I don't know anything.
Well, I know. And then your illness.
In this situation I'm now, I sort of lock myself away in my house most of the time because I'm walking and everything else. I do walk, but I'm shaky. But I have to walk. I have to get out and do something because I just go mad looking at four walls all the time.
Of course, yeah. Well, you need some. Yeah, Elizabeth.
Sorry, can I just come in? I have some experience about what the young man is saying as well. And actually, public healthcare in Australia and New Zealand is even superior to what it is private healthcare in Ireland. And I've been an unfortunate victim of the healthcare system in Ireland in recent years. Now, good. The only thing I would say to the young man there, he might have major difficulties going up in the air and definitely coming down on the plane. If he goes on, he mightn't make it as far as Australia. If he thinks he's in trouble now, he'll have a whole lot more trouble when he's trying to descend from 35,000 feet. But yes, I mean, I could say something. I've had a very recently bad stay in Cavan General Hospital, but it's going through due process at the minute.
Okay, well, I don't want
and
to go down
it was,
that road,
so I don't want. I'm not going to go. I didn't ring about that anyway.
Okay, that's fine. Is a health service, New Zealand's often cited as a very similar demographic to Ireland, very similar GDP.
Yeah.
Is a health service better than New Zealand?
Yeah. It's funny, New Zealand is 5.5 times the physical size of Ireland, but the same population base and generally speaking, the same sort of issues with care, with cancer and diabetes and obesity-related issues today. However, Joe, you can get seen immediately on public health care and be taken extremely well care in New Zealand. Anywhere in New Zealand, you don't need private health care. And related to that, like the insurances and motor taxes and stuff like that are 4 times more expensive here than they are in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. Like I pay €1,500 for my motor tax. It works out about €267 in New Zealand. Our house insurance and different insurance is all a fraction in New Zealand what they are here. But the other thing I just wanted to say about New Zealand versus Irish, and I'm a very proud and mostly a very happy Irish person no matter where I am, but people always compare the two countries, right? And where I was starting off by saying, the difference between Ireland and New Zealand, the brilliant thing about Ireland is our people, us, our temperament, our banter, our wit, our charm. In New Zealand, it's the physical beauty of the countryside because people aren't as most forthcoming and they're not as open to have the crack and chat in the main.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm here saying, you know, all the years I lived in New Zealand, it is still post-colonial England in that way and all of that. However, I managed fine, but I did find if you were an Irish woman with a brain that went to your mouth, you kind of sometimes got in a bit of bother. But they mightn't have minded too much because I was actually asked to run for government in 2007
Have you, on behalf of which party?
The National Party.
Which would be the mainstream party.
The National Party was John Key at the time, but they thought I was a pretty good woman with broad spectrum appeal.
So have you decided to emigrate to New Zealand?
Yeah, I'm heading down now. I'm going down in a couple of weeks and I've taken time out and I'm just going to see how I feel about it. But I mean, I still love Ireland. I'm generally happy here, but I'm just feeling worn down. I just want to know how, I wanted to get the pulse of the nation, see, are any other people feeling a bit beleaguered like me? Like, you do all the things right, you do what you have to do. I've paid my penalty points too. I've had a few of them for doing 55 and a 50 on Stevens's Day outside Jury's Hotel when I was the only person on the road, whatever. But just bit by bit, I'm being a small business who gets very little support in Ireland, and I'm down in Monaghan, and I just feel life has to be a bit easier than this, you know? And I hate turning on the radio one thing after another, from Big Phil and the water charges to the way broadband can happen now, the national maternity. Why can we not join the dots in this country? Why do we have to go from A to Z to get to B, basically?
Okay, back after this break. Thanks, Elizabeth. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Our Liveline callback is on tomorrow night. We're getting a great reaction to this series and another episode tomorrow night we've just put to bed, so to speak. And I think some of the stories, and indeed the way they're handled and the what happened next element of Liveline callback, that's tomorrow night on RTE television at 7 o'clock Thursday and goes right on till the end of January. Rita, Paul came on to talk about going to Australia, but we ended up, rightly so, he's tormented by vertigo. Rita is in Kilimanjaro. Go ahead, Rita.
Yeah, hi, Joe. Thank you so much for taking the call. I was on to you. Now, I'm bad at remembering times, but it was 3 or 4 years ago. I think it could have been 3. And there were people ringing in with vertigo, and you spoke to me for at least 15 minutes. And after you spoke to me, I had started up a voluntary group for people with Meniere's disease who suffered with vertigo, and people who didn't have Meniere's disease but still suffered with vertigo, and people with tinnitus and all inner ear vestibular disorders. And after your phone call, there are now 75 people in the group.
Oh, brilliant.
And it's the only in Ireland.
Well done.
So I wanted to tell people about it, because the more we go on, I went over to England and became a group within the Meniere's Society in the UK, because people don't have to have Meniere's to come to this group. And what we do is people come up from the country once, maybe, and then we send them the minutes of every meeting, because
they're
obviously, you know, the nature of the disease, you can't obviously travel every time to the group, but it's on every second Monday of every month.
And is there any help for Paul?
Yeah, I heard the end of Paul, because I ran into...
Well, Paul is at the end of his tether.
I know, and I can totally understand that, but there are actually answers, and the most important question that comes up and that people have not got done is a test. It's the definitive test called the caloric test, CALORIC, caloric test. Now, that will define where his vertigo is coming from. You know, there are also now new things out that weren't there when I got it 38 years ago. I have it 38 years. There are now gentamicin injections, which people have said they have changed their lives. Now, they weren't out when I was as bad as I was in the first stages. Now, he may not have Meniere's disease, but he obviously has some vestibular inner order disorder.
Paul, is there a name on the
type? Meniere's disease.
It is called Meniere's disease.
Yep.
And did he have that test, that caloric test, yes? And if he did...
Well, let Paul answer. Sorry, I'm not saying that to you, either.
I haven't had any tests. I haven't been asked to go for any tests.
Paul, I'm so happy to talk to you, because there are so many people come in and out of the group and they stay in touch with us. And the caloric test is the definitive test everywhere for to define that it... Now, it sounds like you have Meniere's disease. It's usually a triad: hearing, tinnitus and vertigo.
Right.
Do you have it in one ear? You can get injections. Most people, it works on the first lot of a gentamicin injection, which is put into the inner ear, and their lives are changed. Some people, at most, would need 3 gentamicin injections. So,
well, this is the
life
I've been told since I had this. I haven't been told this before.
Well, I'll give you my number. As a matter of fact, my number is out there everywhere. I can say it now, because it's a voluntary group that I run. And we're now associated with Meniere's Society UK.
And by the way, how is your own condition, Rita?
Well, this is 38 years now. I have, on the good positive side for Paul, right?
Okay.
You do get very long remissions in and out between.
Fair play to you.
There were days when I crawl up the stairs to vomit and lose lots of bowel control. You know, and it's so embarrassing. My last attack, I mean, I had remission. And I went back into it there, but in the third stage of Meniere's now, the severity and the length of their vertigo attacks are not as long. But my last one was 4 weeks ago in Dunstores in Kilimanjaro, where they thought I was drunk. and it took a neighbour who knew me to say, and I had a, if he joins the group, and this is all free, this group I'm doing.
Well done,
you know,
well done.
But he will get a card saying what he has.
Okay.
And so people don't step over you and think you're drunk. Like, the security man, I won't say it because I don't even know his name anyway, but I wouldn't say it. But he thought I was drunk, and I can understand he thought I was drunk. But right now, in the third stage, I'm after getting a little bit of a whack of it again, and it's really debilitating. It can cause visual problems as well, because a lot of people with these things have migraines as well, so they get visual problems and headaches. And and there's Stematil tablets.
Mum got through the list, and Rita, you're very good, and it's excellent that you, a sufferer, started that group. Paul, would you...
But it was through you. It was through you, Joe, listening to me.
Yeah, oh, you're fantastic. And I'm again struck by the pain that Paul is going through. I know he came on to talk about it straight.
I would love to talk to him.
Okay,
he can ring me any time, and he could come to I don't know what part of the country
he's in. Wexford. He's in Wexford.
Wexford, yeah.
Are you able to travel even for one meeting, Paul?
Well, I can travel on a train, but I mean, I can't drive.
Oh, well, there's a great service from Wexford to Dublin, yeah.
Yeah, and from Tipperary, they're all coming on the Houston station, and the Lewis outside leaves you straight up to the place where we are. It's just here in Exchange Hall, but they've changed their name this week to Chimes in Exchange Hall. So it would be something I could tell him in person over the phone or email as well.
Both your permissions, we'll pass exchange details. And Rita, once again, with your permission, we put up the details of the group. It sounds like you've done wonders. You've worked wonders.
Thank you.
That might be the difference. I know Paul was very keen to get back to Australia because the health service will deal with it much quicker. But maybe the difference in Ireland is a community response. Like yourself, Rita, might be different given the nature. Paul, thanks indeed. Rita, thanks indeed. And look after yourselves. And we'll pass on those details, but also details of Rita's incredible group, which she set up herself, even though she's a sufferer, on our website. 51551.